Should I? Or shouldn't I? You know, that question gets asked a lot when it comes to a cosmetic procedure. A lot of people have those trouble areas that weight reduction just won't cure. So what do you do? Do you do it or do you not do it? And what's the difference between a cosmetic surgeon and a plastic surgeon? You have questions? We have answers. This is Which Way Is Life, the podcast designed to help you find a healthier, inspired life. I'm your host, Bill Klaproth, and this is episode number 81, and my guest today is Dr. Babak Dadvand. Dr. Dadvand is a double board certified plastic surgeon, and he is the medical director at Beverly Hospital and Olympia Medical Center in Los Angeles, where he is also the chief of surgery. Dr. Dadvand is a natural looking breast surgery expert in all areas of augmentation, lifts, revisions, and reductions. Dr. Dadvand, thank you so much for joining me today. I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
The one thing that I do for sure is every day, at the end of the day, I list three things that I'm grateful for. That leads me to tackling the next day and gaining a lot of perspective on things that may not be as big a deal as I sometimes make them out to be, and to put priorities on the most important things in my life.
Well, that's kind of good because you get to relook at that day, and then it kind of sets your intention for the next day, too.
Exactly.
Oh, that's really good. Love that. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And Dr. Dadvand, before we dig into your story, can you let us in on your personal life? What brings you joy when you're not saving the world?
Well, there are a lot of things. I mean, as a proud father of three, my kids, of course, my beautiful family, they bring me joy. They ground me. They keep me my feet firmly planted on the ground. In my downtime, when I can find it, I love training and competing in triathlons, as well as doing yoga and playing tennis.
I love it. Very cool. I just started doing yoga a little while ago because I talked to a lot of people on this show about yoga, so I started doing it, and I love it. It's so good.
Yes, and it's so good for you. And I did it, started about a year and a half ago, mainly because I was having a lot of lower back pain, actually from playing tennis. And I kid you not, within 2 weeks of taking classes, my back pain got a lot better. My flexibility's improved, and it's actually made me a better athlete. It's made me calmer as well, but, you know, it wasn't the reason why I started doing it. Physically, I feel so much better over the last year and a half, and I owe it to the yoga.
There's certainly a lot of benefits to it, and if you're on the fence and trying it, just go try it. You know there's one. They spring up all over the place. There's probably one within 5 minutes of you. Go try it. Check it out. I think you're going to like it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. It's so good. All right, Dr. Dadvand, let me ask you this. When it comes to plastic surgery, what should we look for in a plastic surgeon?
That's an excellent question. I think one of the things that's a hot topic these days is what does board certified mean? I really believe that patients are a lot more internet savvy than they were in the past, but still, that whole question of board certified can be a little bit vague. I always tell patients, look for a board certified plastic surgeon, and that's different than, for instance, a board certified cosmetic surgeon or a laser surgeon. A plastic surgeon means that they did the requisite training in the field of plastic surgery. They sat through rigorous oral and written examination to become certified to perform plastic surgery. Cosmetic surgeons can be anyone, can be a family practitioner, a gynecologist, can be anybody who just can take a weekend class or a seminar and be qualified or categorized as a cosmetic surgeon. And so do your homework. But also when you meet the surgeon, make sure you have a good vibe. You know, you make sure that not only do they have really good before and after pictures, but that you get along with the surgeon because it's a relationship. It's not just, you know, you're having the surgery and that's it. I like to think of patients that I take on as forming a relationship with them, and that they feel comfortable with me in my office and my surgical plan, but also, you know, that I'm going to take excellent care of them in the future and for whatever needs that they may have.
Well, that trust is so important. And I'm so happy you told us the difference, because I see ads on TV all the time and hear them on the radio. And I wonder, okay, what's the difference between a cosmetic surgeon and a plastic surgeon? I always thought the two were interchangeable. Didn't really matter. But what you're saying is a board-certified plastic surgeon really has more credentials, the education, the training than a cosmetic surgeon.
Yes. I mean, in my specific situation, I did 5 years of general surgery residency and followed by 3 years of plastic surgery residency. So that's 8 years after medical school. You're not going to find a cosmetic surgeon who can come even close to that level of training. And so, it's not just important to be board certified, but board certified by the American Board of Plastic Surgery.
Okay, that is great information. So thank you for sharing that with us. So when we're in the office then, you were just talking about that, what questions should we be asking when we're in the consultation?
So it's interesting, because when patients come in for a consultation, they're interviewing me, but I'm interviewing them as well. I'm trying to see what their expectations are, whether what I'm trying to fix is something that actually is fixable to meet their expectations, or whether there's a psychological component. So I think as a patient going in to see a plastic surgeon, very important to make sure that they're asking the right questions. What, you know, experience do they have doing that specific procedure? So some plastic surgeons, myself included, tend to specialize more in certain procedures than others. And so you want to make sure that the plastic surgeon that's going to be doing whatever the procedure is you're interested in has a lot of experience doing that procedure. So questions about that, questions about the recovery process. You know, a lot of patients are so focused on the actual process of the surgery, that it's also important to know what the recovery process is, how much time is going to be needed to take off from work, working out, the gym, if there's any pain involved, how much pain to expect. And I really think that happy patients aren't just those that have great results. They're also those that have gotten a lot of their questions answered before the surgery and have realistic expectations of what to expect from the whole surgical process, which is more than just the day of surgery.
Right. So look for experience in that procedure that you're looking to have done, and then ask about the recovery process, which is really, really important. And then you were talking about, you feel comfortable with that person. Like you said, you're interviewing the patient. They're interviewing you too. But I imagine you have to feel real comfortable with your plastic surgeon, right? If there's not a vibe or a connection there, is that sometimes a red flag?
Absolutely. I think, you know, for patients, it's not an easy thing to come to a plastic surgeon's office. And, you know, these are, you know, usually body parts that we're maybe embarrassed about. And now here you are meeting someone for the first time. And now you have to disrobe, or you have to talk about things that have always, you know, made you feel uncomfortable about yourself. And so having a surgeon make you feel comfortable is really important. And I can't stress that enough. I hear a lot of patients who say, yeah, I've been on other consultations, and the doctor's in and out of the room in 5 minutes, and it's so different being here where you take the time to listen and make sure that, you know, all my concerns have been and questions have been answered. Because you got to have these questions answered before surgery, not after surgery, when they may come up.
You probably like it when people ask you more questions, right? Instead of the person that holds back, and then, hey, you never told me about this. And you're like, well, you didn't ask. I would have been happy to explain to you, but I'm not a mind reader kind of a thing. So really come prepared with as many questions as you have and make sure you ask them.
Yeah, and even writing them down. I actually love it when patients come in with lists of questions, because then I can just go right through that list and then fill in any of the blank spots that they may have missed. Take ownership of the whole process. At the end of the day, it's your body, it's your health, and you want to take every step to make the right decision. Some people make more effort in picking out a car than a plastic surgeon, you know, and I think it should be exactly the opposite. So take the necessary steps.
So true. So who is usually a good candidate for plastic surgery?
So yeah, that's a great question. I think certainly from a physical standpoint, someone who is, you know, within normal body weight or close to normal body weight, meaning they're not obese, they're not significantly overweight, has no major health conditions, is definitely not an active smoker. I operate on smokers, but they have to quit for at least a month before and a month after. So from a medical standpoint, these are really excellent candidates for plastic surgery. And then people who have realistic expectations, you know, people who understand that they're, you know, plastic surgery is as much a science as it is an art, and it can lead to amazing results. But a lot of it has also to do with how the body heals. And so, you know, these are certain things that most plastic surgeons are also kind of gauging in the initial consultation.
Right. So, again, good advice. You're looking for people with normal body weight, or people that have these things are good candidates for plastic surgery. Normal body weight, no major health conditions, not an active smoker, and somebody that's got realistic expectations, which I think is really important.
Right. Absolutely.
So what's the most popular procedure you perform, or what are most people asking for?
So one of the niche procedures that I do and I specialize in is something called gynecomastia surgery or male breast reduction. Now, of course, I do breast augmentation, tummy tucks, liposuction, facelifts, and this sort. But what I'm known for in the community is male breast reduction. And it's interesting, you know, it's a lot more common and prevalent than we once thought it was. And so I see quite a number of men in my office coming in with this of all ages, from as young as 14, 15 to as old as 68, 69.
Wow, that's really interesting, because when I'm thinking of plastic surgery, I'm thinking of a woman. So maybe that's my fault, my bad. But to hear you say one of the most popular things you do is the gynecomastia surgery, which is male breast reduction. So, you know, you don't really think about that, but men have body issues too.
Right. And I think especially over the last 7 to 10 years, there's been this trend in plastic surgery where more men are having surgery. And I think part of it has to do with the kind of acceptance that, yeah, plastic surgery is not for the vain or for the narcissistic or for the women or the super wealthy or famous. It's for regular folks. And guess what? Guys make up regular folks too. And, you know, guys make sure that, like, for me, one of the things with male breast reduction is people started to think that, or people began to realize that it is a medical condition. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, you've got male breasts or man boobs or moobs or whatever the moniker for it. It's because you're lazy or you don't work out right or you don't eat the right foods. And it's actually not. It's a condition that more often than not happens sometime during puberty, where there's just too much breast tissue that forms. Now, certainly there are a lot of medications that can cause it too. Steroids, you know, bodybuilders who do steroids or a whole list of medications that can cause it. But by and large, I'd say over half my patients, they got it during puberty, and there's no real good explanation as to why, just bad luck. And no matter what they did during their life, it just wouldn't go away. It had nothing to do with weight gain or weight loss. And it really impacts a lot of men. And, you know, in Los Angeles, where I am, you know, it's an active town because the weather's so good, you know. And so you can imagine what an impact this could have when you feel, you know, self-conscious going to the beach or going to a pool. And also when the weather gets warm and you're wearing layers of clothes to just kind of camouflage your chest, you know, it's a really prevalent thing. Yeah.
Right.
Not fun at all.
And that's interesting when you say, you know, many people that come in, they're making a decision on plastic surgery because it's a functional decision, not because they just want to look better, because they want to function better in their daily life.
Right. I mean, I think what I'm always, kind of impressed by is what emotional impact a lot of these things can have on people. You know, whereas most guys who have gynecomastia, they don't have physical symptoms of pain, or some of them do, but most of them don't. But the psychological impact of not being able to just you know, put on a shirt and leave the house, or wearing multiple layers, or not doing certain social events because of you know, being embarrassed or self-conscious, it can start to play on you day in and day out. And it's so funny because one of the things I tell my patients is, you know, if you can leave the house without thinking of your chest, then I've done my job. Because most guys, we don't think of our chest when we're leaving the house, right? When we're picking out a shirt to put on, we're not thinking of this. But it's amazing; it impacts them on such a daily level. You know, I can't wear this shirt because the way the fabric sits against my chest, or you know, this shirt, you know, the color's not right because it's going to highlight it. You know, there are plenty of other things in life to stress out about, and your chest shouldn't be one of them.
Right. That makes so much sense. Now, you're an expert in aesthetic plastic surgery, breast surgery, facial rejuvenation, nose and body sculpting work. What exactly is aesthetic plastic surgery?
So, you know, aesthetic basically means, you know, making it looking better, more beautiful. Cosmetic is a synonym for it, as opposed to other things. I do reconstructive plastic surgery too, where you're restoring form and function as opposed to just form. So, you know, examples of reconstructive plastic surgery are when women have mastectomies for breast cancer and I reconstruct their breasts. And obviously there's an aesthetic component to that too, because you're not just putting a mound there. You want it to look as natural of a breast as possible. But I also do a lot of reconstructive surgery in the hospitals for people with burns and wounds, reconstructing them to bring back their function so they can get on with their lives. In aesthetic plastic surgery, the focus is 100% on the form and making it look better, whatever that better may be. If it's a small breast, making it look larger with implants. If it's an overly large breast, making it smaller, not just to relieve the symptoms, but also to make it look better.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of functional, again, you think of a lot of women that have breast reduction surgery because, you know, it just it helps them again with their daily life, getting them back to normal size, right? I'm sure you see a lot of that.
Absolutely. Breast reduction surgery, year in and year out, ranks as one of the highest patient satisfaction surgeries in plastic surgery. And the reason for that is because women with large breasts, as opposed to men with large breasts, women with large breasts have a lot of symptoms from it. You know, they've got lower neck pain, upper back pain. Some of them have skin breakdown underneath the breast because of the size of the breast. They can't exercise properly because their breasts are just too large and get in the way. And then it's a vicious cycle. So they don't exercise, they can gain more weight, and it feeds on itself. And so when you remove that, you're literally taking a weight off their chest, right? Both literally and figuratively. They feel the result of that right away. And it's not unusual. You know, I've taken off, you know, we're done reductions where I'm taking off 2.5 pounds per side. Now imagine walking around every day with a 5-pound weight, you know, strapped to your chest.
Right.
That's gonna literally weigh on you.
Wow, that's a great analogy. It's like a 5-pound bowling ball strapped to your chest, walking around with that every day. Wow, when you put it that way, you can really imagine what some of these women are going through.
Right. Absolutely.
So let me ask you this. You studied fine arts at the University of Pennsylvania. How does your fine arts background help you with aesthetic surgery? I got to imagine it does, right?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly you don't have to be a fine arts major to become a plastic surgeon, but it certainly does help. And I think where it helps the most is, you know, the one thing in fine arts, and especially with all the sculpture classes and painting classes, where painting off of a live model, it's the power of observation. Being able to look at something, and in this case, that something is not a model, but it's a patient in front of me, and being able to verbalize the things that are off balance and not in harmony, and verbalize it in a way that they can understand, but also have a much better development of 3D space. Spatial relationships in the operating room. So when I'm in the operating room doing certain cases, I'm going back and forth looking at the face, the chest, whatever part I'm operating on from multiple angles, because sculpting classes taught me that you can do a sculpture of a model from one position and it could look amazing, and then you look at it from a different angle, and it looks nothing like the form. And so you have to constantly be aware of 3D spatial relationships.
That makes so much sense. That really, so, and that's good to know again, and that might be a question you may want to ask your plastic surgeon about the thought process when they're going through the procedure, like you kind of were just talking about. And that brings up another question then about sculpting and your fine arts background. Do you have paintings and your sculptures all over the your office?
No, I don't. Just on Instagram. Just on my Instagram.
It's funny.
It's actually funny. My parents' house is actually my permanent gallery space. My mother still has all the paintings that I've done, or majority of them, hanging on her walls. So I think she's not going to relinquish them anytime soon.
The Museum of Dr. Dodvand. I love it.
That's right. That's right.
So what else do we need to know? For someone listening who's thinking about a plastic surgery procedure, what would you say to them? What else do they need to know that we didn't talk about?
So I think, listen, the Internet's a fantastic resource, but really what needs to be done if a patient's really interested is not just get all your information from the Internet. Go see a plastic surgeon. And I always recommend seeing more than one. I say, you know, see two or three. Don't see more than three because it can get confusing. But you want to see a couple or a few just so you get a comparison of not just techniques and not just cost, but also just characteristics and personalities. I think it's important to just bite the bullet. Most patients, the biggest thing is making that first phone call to schedule a consultation. And I think that's the thing that the limitation of the Internet. You can spend your whole life just researching something, but there's a difference in speaking to an expert one-on-one in the privacy of an exam room where you can really ask the questions that you want and get the answers that you want and need.
Well, that makes sense. And to begin, make that phone call and go get that consultation. And that'll be your first
right.
step. And then do what's next and what's next and what's next. But if you're thinking about it, Dr. Dodvand has given you some great advice and make that call. Just do that
A really good plastic surgeon will guide you through every step of the process. You know, it's very overwhelming, and you can't handle all that information all up front. And so every step of the way, a good surgeon is going to, and a really good office at that as well, is going to guide you so your stress levels are minimized and you can enjoy the process and have an excellent result.
And you'll know and you'll feel it because it's that relationship that you have with the doctor is very important. So those are really great steps, and thank you for sharing those with us. Coming up, we get the high five from my guest today, Dr. Babak Dodvand. But first, if I could ask a quick favor, if after
sure.
the interview you could jump over to iTunes after the interview with Dr. Dodvand and rate and review the podcast, Which Way Is Life? That way I get a wider audience, and it gives us a chance to help more people, and that's what this podcast is all about. The high five with my guest today, Dr. Dodvand, is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way Is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way Is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way Is Life for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today, Dr. Babak Dodvand. Dr. Dodvand, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Number one, what lit your passion for plastic surgery?
What lit my passion for plastic surgery was the ability to think outside the box, help people by thinking of creative solutions to their problems.
Wow, that's excellent. All right, question number two. Tell me about someone or something that inspires you today.
That's easy. It's my father. My father is 75 years old, still works two jobs, and is probably the best role model any child can have. the dedication that he's had for his family, the work ethic that he's demonstrated and he's instilled in me.
Sounds like a wonderful man, and I'm sure you're instilling that those same values with your children as well.
I hope so.
All right, question number three. When people find out what you do, what's the first question they usually ask?
What do you think I need?
Oh, and you love answering that, right?
Yeah, it's such a loaded question.
Yeah, you meet somebody at a cocktail party, right?
Oh, it happens every cocktail party. And I try and be, I turn the question back on them. And I say, well, what are you unhappy with?
That's a great way to rephrase that. And then they'll usually go, well, I don't think So that's a great way to deal with that. But I imagine you get that all the time.
I get it all the time, which is fine. I'd rather make small talk about something I'm passionate about than about the weather, right?
Right. Very true. All right. Question number four. Do you have a favorite quote you can share with us?
Yes, I do. This is, the quote, practice makes perfect. So This is a variation of that. Practice makes permanent. Only perfect practice makes perfect.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. Can you give it to us one more time?
Yeah, so practice makes permanent. Only perfect practice makes perfect.
That's good. All right.
Yeah, basically, if you practice something wrong all the time, it's never going to become perfect. It's just going to become permanently wrong. So.
Right. That's so good. And we're going to put that up on the show notes page at radiomd.com. All right, Dr. Dadvan, last question, question number five. Finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
To balance work and life.
That's easier said than done sometimes.
It is, and I'll tell you what, it's something that I've come to a realization relatively recently. And I don't like to live a life of regret, but if I could have gone back 15, 20 years, I would have bought into that concept a lot earlier.
So what did you learn or how did you discover that? Because I think a lot of people know they need more balance in their life, but find it very elusive and how to do it.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think the first thing is you have to actively work towards that balance and making time for that. There was a time where I was working 6 days, sometimes 6.5 days a week, and you just come to realize like what the important things are in your life. And for me, it was my kids and making sure I was there, and not someone that they never saw. And then just making sure that I'm doing things to take care of my own body. You got to practice what you preach to your patients. And if I don't take care of my body, I can't be there to take care of other people. And so doing certain things from a physical activity standpoint, from a diet standpoint, these are the things that I'm talking about as far as just feeling better, being overall healthier, and living a less stressful life.
Well, those are good tips that we all can use and put to heart. And sometimes you got to make those tough decisions, right? Okay, I'm not going to work 6.5 days. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not doing it. I'm making the decision. No. And sometimes you just have to get to that decision where you go, no more. I'm not going to do these 12-hour days. So that's really, really good stuff. And taking care of yourself is so important, too, because you want to be around to enjoy your kids and your family for a long time and set a good example for them, too. So
absolutely.
Really good stuff. Dr. Dadvan, thank you so much. How can we connect with you?
Well, you can find me on the internet. Just on my website is Dr. Dadvan Plastic Surgery. That's Dr. Dadvan Plastic Surgery. Office is 310-278-4200. That's the office number. And I actually have a special site for gynecomastia patients. It's called losangelesgynecomastia.org. So a lot of different ways. Also on Instagram and Facebook and all the other social media venues.
Very good. And we're going to put all those links up on the show notes page at radiomd.com. So if you need to hear any of that or you want to connect with Dr. Donvan. You can go there and you'll find all of that. Thank you again, and I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite quotes, which is, remember to enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Dr. Donvan, thank you so much again.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure.
So good talking with Dr. Donvan. A lot of good information there. Hopefully you can use some of that. And thank you for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. And once again, if I could ask a quick favor, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. By doing that, I gain a wider audience and it gives me a chance to help more people. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcasts. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.